Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, I want you to think about your fence, your limits, your limitations. Do you have any of those? What if your limitations, the things that you feel are holding you back from being all you can be, what if those limits are a gift from God? Look at the weaknesses that you might resent that are in your life right now. Look at all the ways that you've been pushing yourself against the boundaries of your life, trying to do more, to be more, to achieve, to become a success, to find the outcome. What if the boundaries you feel that lead to shame and frustration are there for your own heart? Are there for a purpose? Sarah Hagerty is our guest today. We're going to talk about the gift of limitations. You do not want to miss this. You can find out more about her and our topic and a whole lot more at chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks for joining us at the Back Fence today. Also, thanks to Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trisha is our producer. Gabby T's in the chair today. Anthony will be answering your calls. In a little more than a week, the window's going to close. The fence is going to close on our offer of a great resource. It's our thank you for supporters of this program. Give a gift of any amount. We're sending the book, Memorizing Scripture. I talk a lot about Christianity being transformation and not simply behavior modification. And in the book today, I was reading this. Glenna Marshall says, you might not think that much is happening in your slow, plodding commitment to Scripture memorization. I'll tell you what's happening. The Lord is changing the way you think. He is changing your desires. He is keeping you awake to the spiritual battle going on for your affections and attention. He is reminding you, you are His. You will know how to go out and live wholeheartedly in a dark, confusing world with the light and life of Christ because He is making you new, word by word, phrase by phrase, day by day. If you feel like you cannot memorize any more Bible verses than you already have, Glenna and I are here to tell you, don't believe it. We'll send you a copy of Memorizing Scripture. Call or click through today. Again, the fence is closing. We're going to close it in a little more than a week. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down. You'll see how you can become a friend or a partner with us right there. chrisfabrylive.org. Or the phone number is 866-953-2279. Would love to put this in your hands. 866-95-FABRY. And thank you for being a friend or partner with us. Every now and then, I stumble across something that explains my life to me. And for me, often it's fiction because I think in terms of story, it's just how my brain lights up. It's how I come alive. It's how God sometimes will knock on the back door of my heart and say, hey, here you are. This is you right here in this story. From the moment I opened The Gift of Limitations, I was captured by both Sarah Hagerty's story as well as how she interprets the limits in her life. Who is she? Well, I'll tell you. She's a best-selling author, wife to Nate, mom to 7 children. She runs, she walks through the woods, lives near Kansas City, probably roots for that team that's there in the red and the white. And her featured resource is her book, The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries. Sarah, is that right? Do you root for that team that is not that successful?
Oh, please. You cannot live in Kansas City and not be a Chiefs fan. I think there's maybe 2 of them out there, and I'm not one of them.
Yes. Well, congratulations. It is fun to watch. And fun
it's
to watch.
It's a good year for us.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's been a good 2 years. We'll see if 3 happens. Okay.
That's right.
But there is the limitation right there. You know, we won 2, but we got to get 3 because then we're going to be historic. It's even
more
in football, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. We live that way, right? Like we get the goal and we can sit in it for about 3.5 minutes before we're going what's next.
Yes. That happened to me because you and I were talking before the program and publishing. That happened when I got my very first book. I dreamed about this. I held it in my hands. I went to the publisher. I opened it up. My wife and my kids were there, and we opened it up, and I held it in my hands. I looked at it, and I thought, when's the next one coming out?
You know, isn't that interesting?
That's the first thought that I had, and I thought, you ungrateful. But it's showing, again, what you're doing here is you're showing our heart to ourselves, right?
That's right. Our eyes really do rest. If we picture our life like a plot of land and a fence around it, we live so much of our lives with our eyes over the fence line. You know, your story of your book, I live that, right? I have a moment that's beautiful, God-given, intended for me to savor, and my eyes flit from there to what's next, unthinking.
Exactly. So you write about the ache of our limits. Define that. What do you mean when you say limits or limitations or boundaries? What are you talking about?
I think a lot of us live reacting to limitations we've never named, but we realize them when we're given permission, maybe even just listening today to go, huh, our limitations are the things that hold us back from what we think we really want. And so all of your listeners have something, right? It could be a health issue that we're waiting for a negative test. It could be small children at home and we're tired and going, when will they finally sleep through the night? It could be challenges with teenagers where we're thinking when they're finally launched, I'll catch my breath, or a challenge in our marriage where we think if we could just get around the corner, or I can't pay this bill, but when I get this promotion, we'll have a little bit more cash in the bank. I think all of us live with limitations, but they have a power over us because we oftentimes don't name them. And if we don't name them, then we can't actually bring them to God. So there's an ache. We live with an ache we don't name, but we react to.
Here's what arrested me. You're on page 11. You say, you are kept from what I have, and I can't have what you have. I want your quiet afternoons and your free evenings, and you want my arms full of family. Your meticulously maintained lawn is the dream of the tired landowner who has the sunsets you wished you could see if your neighbor's roof weren't in the way. And this hem of the world that ties us into one narrative is the ache of our want, the ache of our limits. And then you say, we live mostly dissatisfied, bloated by the vaporous nature of too much, but reaching for what's being served at the next table over. I mean, that stopped me in my tracks.
Because we live that, right? But we oftentimes don't name it, but we live this reality that I dream about when I'm going to have more time and space in my day. I have 7 kids and I dream about when I'm going to have more time and space in my day. And a sweet girl stopped by my house yesterday. She's going to help me with some planting and she's desperate to have children. And I think she wants what I have and I want the extra time she has. Isn't that ironic? But we live there, right? We live there.
And you lived where she was years ago because of the struggle with infertility, right?
Right. And that was really my first introduction to my limits. You know, I wrote this book after seeing that the landscape kept changing in my life, as it naturally does as we go through different seasons, but I still felt a similar ache in every season. And that was, I want what I can't have. And I feel like there's a fence line between me and what I really want. And I faced that for the first time in my 20s when all my friends were having their babies and growing their families. And I'm going to the hospital to visit their new babies. And then first, second, third birthday parties. And my husband and I went through a decade plus of infertility. So standing in essence on the other side of a storefront window, watching a life happening and growing in so many of my peers as we were just stymied. We were stuck and stationary in this season of infertility. That was the first time I started to see I can't always have what I want in God. I can't pray my way here. I can't actually wish and dream and pray and intercede enough to get what I want. And could it be that God wants to meet me in the not yet? When I'm waiting for him to answer the prayer and he's going, I actually have something for you right now while you're waiting.
But the problem is, Sarah, that we in the church, either theologically, spiritually, putting this into something that makes sense, we will think that discipleship, following Jesus really hard, is push down those desires, push down those wants, don't want the thing that you want anymore. You know, just be happy with what you have. Why can't you be content with what you have? And if you do that, what you say is it'll bubble up some other way. So let me take a quick break and come back. And let me ask you as you listen today, The Gift of Limitations is our featured resource. Highly recommended. It's changing my life. And I don't say that too often about books, but it's like, it's not changing my life. It's showing me what it is already so that I can change and embrace it. What is your limitation right now in your life? What is it? And maybe you're listening and you say, it's not infertility. It's not being able to have kids. I'm not married. I'm single. I've always been single and I want to be married. And my limitation is when I go to sleep at night, I have nobody to share the stuff that I go on a vacation. I can't share this with anybody else. What is your limitation that you're staring at right now? 877-548-3675. We're going to address some of those today with Sarah Hagerty. The Gift of Limitations is our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. And again, I want to hear from you. 877-548-3675. Sarah Hagerty is joining us today, H-A-G-E-R-T-Y. The Gift of Limitations is our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. Finding beauty in your boundaries. And since we put this as the radio backyard fence, perfect metaphor for the program for you today. So Sarah, for those who are listening and they hear you're a mom to seven children and you homeschool and you're a superwoman. Tell us, since you dealt with infertility, how do you now have seven children?
Well, my husband and I always had a dream to adopt. We knew pretty early on that we would adopt. We just thought we would adopt after we had biological children. But after many years of infertility, we thought maybe the Lord is actually putting this in front of us now. So we adopted two children from Ethiopia. And while we were there, I was really stirred by a girl in the orphanage who was maybe seven or eight. And it was clear she didn't have a family coming for her. She just had these eyes that said, take me home. And we came home from Ethiopia and I said, I want to look for that girl, not literally that girl, but the children who are oftentimes left in the orphanage and not adopted because they're older. And so 2 years later, we went back and we adopted two more children from Uganda. And then several years after we had them home, I had four miracle pregnancies in a row. Three of them, I actually, one was a miscarriage and three I birthed. So well into my 40s, I had a lot of surprises.
And there, right there, to have all of those children limits you, especially, you got a book contract. They want you to speak. They want you to be on this hour-long program. You got to figure out, can I do that? Can I fit this in?
That's right.
And there are expectations, your own, as well as, the publisher and everybody else. What are you going to do? So you have to, that's hard to factor in and not just say yes to everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's when part of this book was birthed from seeing that when I was in my 20s and into my 30s and wrestling with infertility and going, I am so limited from what I want. A lot of those feelings were very similar to being in my now later 40s and seeing my friends launching their children. And I have a four-year-old and going, oh, the life that I thought I would be living at this season is not what I'm actually living. And I have similar feelings of looking over the fence line, of looking at the life that I'm not living instead of the life that God has given me. And as I started to see, whoa, we all have this commonality in feeling subtle resentment towards our limitations and reacting towards them in such a way that we miss the life that's right in front of us. That's what made me desire to write this book. I went, oh, I'm not alone. The 20-year-old, 25-year-old version of me isn't all that different than the 46-year-old version of me.
What did you say to the friend who longs to have children and can't with you? See, as a friend, you can come alongside someone else and kind of dismiss and just say, oh, if you only knew what my life was like, you wouldn't be,
right.
I can see you asking for, maybe a one or two. You can minimize the pain that they're in. So how were you a good friend to her?
I think we as Christians often skip steps. And one of the steps that we miss is grief. I think there's something very significant to not only naming our limitations, but grieving them with God. But we are so good at coaching ourselves out of grief. Get on with it. Be happy. Be grateful that we miss a very important step that actually enables us to be grateful. It's crazy to think that grief enables us to be grateful. But I would say to, you know, even the girl standing in my yard yesterday, I was thinking and even saying elements of this, man, this is a season to grieve. This is profound loss. And it's okay to sit with God in this. And you actually aren't forsaking God by giving your heart permission to be sad. In fact, the psalmist gave us lanes for that. And there is place and space for us to grieve with God that could enable a deep growth in him. Well, and I think even in this, yeah, go ahead.
You could have tried to move her though, because of your move her along, skip the steps. Because, and I think I do this myself, because I'm not comfortable with the grief. I'm not comfortable with the silence, with the just sitting here. And when you find somebody who is, that's gold, isn't it?
That's absolutely. And I think it is. We get to be a little bit of the hands and feet and face of God when we give people permission to grieve. Because if we look, you know, I think of Psalm 34, God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. And I think we have in our minds that surely someone who just lost a spouse or lost a child. And while that's very true, many of us have brokenheartedness in our life that is hard and that God wants to be near to, that he wants to hold. And, you know, I think of even when I found out I had this last surprise pregnancy, I was 42 and very tired and raising kids who'd been through significant trauma. And literally two nights before I found out I was pregnant, I said to my husband, there's just not enough of me. There are too many needs in this house and there's not enough of me to go around. I'm going to drown. And then 2 days later, I find out that I'm pregnant. And in that, I could say, girl, you've wanted this your whole life and you wanted a big family and now you have it. Get on with it. But instead, it really felt like the tender heart of God to me was to, as a father, say, it's okay to grieve this. It's okay to go, this is going to be hard. It's okay to acknowledge that you feel like there's too much for your capabilities right now. And I did grieve and I gave myself permission to grieve, which ultimately opened my heart up to receive what is now one of the greatest blessings in my life, this blonde, curly-haired little four-year-old who is like such a sprite and I can't get enough of her.
But we want to move people because we want to move ourselves. You know, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. I've heard that a lot of times. Right. And I look at the garden, I look at Gethsemane, and I see in his humanity, Jesus struggling. We're going to talk about that next week, but Jesus struggling with this weight that he is asked by the Father to carry, that he says, if there's some other way, you know, and then to make the decision and to say, and he had already made the decision, but he's just struggling with it. There's a gift there, isn't there?
There really is. You know, Psalm 22, Jesus used the words in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? He used those words on the cross. And I think there's really, he gives us language and permission for what it looks like to sit with God in the pain. And at the end of Psalm 22, ultimately is praise. And not that Jesus actually used those words of praise on the cross. He just used the first part of Psalm 22. But if we watch in the Bible, we have a grid for weeping before God such that we can eventually praise. I think of the life of Joseph. You know, I feel like it's 7 or 10 times Joseph is noted as weeping in the Bible. And what we remember is him looking at his brothers and saying, what you intended for evil, God meant for good. But there's a backstory there where Joseph actually wept through his life such that he was able to eventually say that. I think many of us don't give ourselves permission to grieve.
877-548-3675. What is your limitation? What are your limits that you're banging your head up against or coming up against the fence line? Sarah Hagerty has written The Gift of Limitations. Karen is on the line in Idaho. Hi, Karen. Go right ahead.
Hi. thank you. I at first made the call here because I heard you talking about. I'm a single woman. I'm in the 60s. I'm a business owner and have been for about 8 years. Very busy shop. And it's the use of my hands. So it's something that I have had since childhood, creativity and that bent. But after you talked about putting your head on the pillow, and I'm single, putting your head on the pillow and having someone to share things with, that just really prompted me to call, because it's really in my heart all the time. And I have traveled alone for a year, and I have built my own business, done all of those things. And yet, because I'm so busy, the challenge is actually being too busy and overworked. And I left my shop of 5 years before, traveled during COVID, and came back, and it's busier. And so in my heart, the challenge is not only time management, it's some of those things that your guest talked about afterwards too, about, the loss. I am divorced for many years. But I did lose a child early on, and some of the kinds of artificial types of things went through that too. And it's hard to get past the grief. So those things that you're talking about, and Joseph crying and weeping sometimes, because certainly I'm a very outgoing person, and lots of people come into my shop and we have great conversations. It's just a limitation that I haven't been able to get past.
We all want to come into your shop, Karen, listening to your voice. I want to come into your shop. You keep talking. But isn't it easier to stay busy so that you are exhausted, so that you go to sleep, so that you don't have to think, because the next day you got to get up and do this again? There's almost a comfort in the exhaustion you don't have to spend that time. Is that how you feel, Karen?
Well, there's that. There's definitely that. I will say that I have had a hard time getting help in what I do, and it is it's a craft that's gone by wayside here in the last couple of years.
Oh, you've got to tell us what it is. What it is? Is it a macrame shop or what?
No, I'm a seamstress, and I do alterations. It's needed. People walk into the shop all the time and say, "This is a dying art," and I'm saying, "I'm alive. I'm right here. I can help you."
I love that.
But with that said, it's true, and I have an education degree. I would love to educate people as well. Yes. The other part to that is just, it's where we are in society. We've dropped some of those kinds of skills. We have, and yet there's still a need out there. Good. So.
They're not valued as well. Okay, Karen, you hang on right there, because I have to hear, Sarah, how do you respond to the limits you're hearing?
I think they're really real. And it's interesting, Karen, as you mentioned your age, I think it's revelatory for us that in every season, we're going to face really challenging limitations. I think there's something that happens in our youth where we imagine that one day we'll grow out of these. And that's not true. And so, Karen, I hear you saying someone who is acknowledging her sadness and her grief. And I think that's profound. And so what I would say is that may even be the invitation of God to you and to those of us who are listening and going, "Oh, I resonate with that." Some of us are being invited to grieve, and we're afraid to grieve because it might feel like it takes up too much time or it might be disruptive. But grief can actually be a road to healing and embracing the limitations God has given us. It takes a little bit longer than just coaching ourselves into better living and better behaving. But Karen, it sounds to me like you're really at a place of acknowledging and going, maybe it's time to grieve some of this loss and see what God does with my grief.
Karen, hang on, because we're gonna send you a copy of this book. I really want to do that. So Gabby will get your information, but I want to read this. I'm in the middle of the grief chapter here, and Sarah writes, "Skipping the step of grieving, even life's minor paper cuts, exempts us from experiencing Jesus's nearness, the lines on his face, the tenderness of his voice, the feel of his calluses across our tear-streaked faces. Skipping the step of grieving prevents us from a measure of healing we'll never know." And then she says, "All the while, God's invitation remains the same. come to me with your tiredness, your overwhelm, your sadness over what you thought this season would be. Come to me. Come to me with lowercase aches. I love that. The ones your dad might coach you out of or your sister might say are foolish. The ones that don't compare with the child starving in Africa. Come to me with those aches. Yes, come to me when your neighbor has lost their spouse and when you think it's foolish to cry over another unpaid bill. Many of us have years of splinters we never brought to him, and we wonder why our hope is lost. That's from the book, The Gift of Limitations by Sarah Hagerty. You can find out more about it at chrisfabrylive.org. Click through today's information right there, chrisfabrylive.org. More about the limitations of life and how to respond to them straight ahead on Moody Radio. Need a little encouragement regarding the issue of life? Here's a story from CareNet's 40-day devotional, A Lifeline of Hope. Jas came to the U.S. looking for a better future. She met David, another recent immigrant, and life was looking up until she discovered that she was pregnant. David immediately suggested abortion. In their cultures, they shamed people who got pregnant outside of wedlock. Jas's parents found out, of course they did, and they pressured her as well. Just make the problem go away. But as she was looking online, she found this number for a pregnancy decision line from CareNet. Unplanned pregnancy crosses every racial, national, and theological line. Thankfully, there's a number that women and men can call and local pregnancy centers that offer support and care and compassion. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, there's a green CareNet button. Click that today. You'll see a welcome to you for Moody listeners and a way to receive that free devotional where you can read the rest of the story. The devotional is A Lifeline of Hope. Read some good news about this pro-abundant life ministry. Click the green CareNet button today at chrisfabrylive.org. Sarah Hagerty has written The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries. And I mentioned this a little earlier. I want to flesh it out just a little bit more with you, Sarah. And that is, as Christians, we will sometimes, you have a friend of yours, you know, who comes over and is dealing with infertility, and you have three verses and a poem and a book, and, you know, and you want to give, and it's almost like we are so uncomfortable with the limits, with the struggle that someone else is having, that we want to move them down the road. Can you talk about that, the danger for Christians?
I think it actually, as you mentioned earlier, is reflective of our own heart stance before God. I think we assume God is maybe uncomfortable with us being in pain, or we feel uncomfortable in pain such that we want to move other people along. I think parents who are listening can probably identify with you, hear one of your teenagers or young adults wrestling with something, and don't you surely want to give them the nugget of wisdom that will get them out of that pain? And I do think it's reflective of perhaps our theology and our understanding of God as an emotional God. And God is one who actually gave us lanes for our grief in the Psalms and permission to grieve in the Psalms. And I think at times we put that into categories of, well, if it's a big loss, I can surely grieve. But can I grieve the fact, you know, I think in my own life, I broke my ankle and at that time had 5 kids, was pregnant, surprise pregnancy with my 6th. And was not able to attend my mom's 70th birthday party on the other side of the country. And I realized I was flooded with sadness as I looked at aunts and uncles flying in for it and all that they did to celebrate her. And my mom is such a wonderful beacon of light in my life, and I couldn't celebrate. And I would have thought, well, this is just a small thing, get over it. Or just, you know, I'd subtly be cynical that, like, I have all these kids and so I can't do this. Because I have a broken ankle, I need somebody to travel with me, I can't be gone for that long. But instead, I really felt the permission of God, like, this may seem small to you, but I care about this, Sarah. Will you grieve with me? Will you sit with me in the ache of missing this because of a physical limitation and because of the limitations under your roof? And all of a sudden, that part of my story and my understanding of myself moved to just the common line in my head of, you have too much going on to be able to care for things you want to care for, to, oh, there are layers here that God wants to tend to in my heart.
Because he cares and because he's kind to you. I think one of the other things that we can fall, traps we can fall into in the church is, you know, God is going to give me the strength to do this. And there's no Sunday school teacher for the fifth graders and there's nobody responding and I need to do, and I've also got to do this. And, you know, and so we fill up our schedule because with good things, with very, very good things, you know, God bless those fifth graders. They do need a teacher, but if I can, if I don't have the bandwidth in order to do that, then if I say no to it, then I feel the shame and the guilt every time I hear about the, you know, the noise coming from the fifth grade Sunday school classroom, you know? Talk about that.
I mean, I think, you know, as a woman, I think of the number, even currently today in my life, the number of people who are in need. And so there's meal trains left and right to serve friends. Now, I myself have Lyme disease. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease a year ago. And in this last year, I've become like so up close aware of, if I don't take care of myself, this ship in our home sinks. Our home sinks. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Really, if mommy doesn't take care of her body, then everybody else struggles. But then I have these friends who are in need and coming up with these, you know, coming face to face with these opportunities to serve and recognizing I am just one person and I'm one person who's limited. And could it be that just because there's a need out there, it doesn't mean that I'm meant to fulfill it? And in the same vein, could some of my tiredness be that I've been fulfilling needs that I thought I needed to fulfill because it was right in front of me?
Right.
Instead of acknowledging my finish, I am one person. That's all.
Yeah. You know, this happens with parents that are getting older too, not just with teenagers or going to college kids, but grown adult children, and the amount of anxiety and angst and worry and struggle that the parents go through because they want, you know, they want good things for their kids and for their grandkids as well. It can happen. Mm-hmm. You're kind of giving us the vision of, you don't have to take on more than, you don't have to take on what God is supposed to be taking on, right?
Right. Well, and even, I mean, here's casting a vision for this too. Some of the things that if we say no to them, because as we grow, I believe as we grow in maturity with God, we also grow to understand and accept our finitude, our limitations, and our inability to do it all and to save the world. There may be areas where we're actually getting in the way of the work of God because we keep trying to save a flailing child who actually needs to flail. We keep trying to save a situation that seems broken. So surely don't we want to fix the brokenness when ultimately if we step out of the way, it might be an opportunity for God to move in a different way. And we get to also see ourselves as ones who aren't needed by God, but delighted in by him.
Yes. You're right. When we live where we are, we remember what we often forget. There is so much to see here, so much to consume. We 21st century humans have tried to live limitless within our limits. What do you mean by that?
I think we have, you know, in our hands access to, I can see what my childhood best friend is doing. I can see where my friend is traveling in Europe. I can see the great exploits my cousin is doing in their job all in 3 minutes. And so I naturally begin to think and assume that I can connect with people at the same time as cooking dinner, at the same time as placing an Amazon order and listening to a podcast and taking notes. I mean, we just live in a way that has very little boundaries because our 21st century life has taught us to optimize. When God moved, Jesus moved at the pace of 3 miles an hour. I mean, he set an example for us of living very present with the life that is in front of him. And we want to travel across continents and time zones and all the boundaries that we might have in a single day by accomplishing communicating with many people at once. And we wonder why we're tired.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this before we went on. This program is 54 minutes. So there's, you know, there's the fence that's around there. And I know that we're not going to do justice to what you've written here. But there's also this pang in my own heart. I want to have everybody on the program that I, you know, that reaches out to me and says, hey, would you have me on the program? And I can't do it. And I live in some ways feeling guilty about having to say no to some really good folks, you know, that I could have on or conversations that we could have. And I think what you've written here has kind of freed me up to say it's, I'm not judging anybody's message or life or, you know, what they've sung or written by not having them on the program. This is just the way it is. This is just the fence that I have, and I have to tend my pasture the way that God, what God has given me in that time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We just have our minds, as I said at the beginning of the program, we have our minds fixed over the fence line more than we even realize. And I would say to listeners, there is a life right in front of each one of us. If we want to use the fence line analogy, around your property, there's grass underneath your feet. There's a willow tree in your yard, or maybe a magnolia that's blooming. It's the beginning of spring. And we're missing it because our eyes are fixed on what we can't have or what's outside of our limitations. There is a beautiful life. Psalm 16:6 tells us the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance. Many of us can't actually step into that until we lean into our limitations instead of resisting them, until we say no, until we go, I can't do it all. I can't invite every guest on. I can't say yes to every person that needs a meal. I can't help every friend in need. I can't help every one of my children, you know, save them out of every pit that they're in.
That's Sarah Hagerty. She's written a really, really encouraging book, a hard book, because it will look inside of you, because it's based on God's word, which is not going to come back void. The Gift of Limitations. You could almost have called it the Book of Limitations, you know, and sound biblical with it. But I like gift. The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries. It's our featured resource today at chrisfabrylive.org. I read a paragraph today. For those of you who listen to this program a lot, you know that I've been talking about process versus outcome. And I read a paragraph today and my jaw dropped. You've got to hear that. And we'll talk about idealism too, straight ahead on Moody Radio. If you've listened to this program for any amount of time, especially over the last couple of years, you've heard me reference process versus outcome. We are so focused on the outcome of our lives that, and we go, what are the steps that I need to take to get this outcome? When, as I look at the scripture, God seems massively disinterested in the outcome that I want for my life, and he's very interested in the process of what's going on. So when I read this morning, Sarah wrote, "The most profound wearying agent was my way of navigating all the outcomes." And let me back up from that. She says, I thought it was grief that was wearying, but grief was the beginning of a reprieve. Was I tired from all the hurting in our home? Yes. Was I tired from the sheer number of mouths to feed? Yes. Was I tired from the responsibility that felt too big for me to carry? Yes. But the most profound wearying agent was my way of navigating all the outcomes. I was bone tired from steering my course, from living for specific outcomes and mitigating against others. It's an exhausting way to live, yet most of us do so unthinkingly. Talk about that, Sarah Hagerty.
You know, Bonhoeffer said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans. And I think in the back of our minds, we think that as we get older and mature in God, we can secure outcomes and we live towards that. And yet when I look at mature believers ahead of me in life, really one of the signs of their maturity is their peace and their rest, that there is an open-handedness that they live with. Like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know he's going to be good.
Yes. And holding on to that, not in blind faith, but in looking, you know, back at the centuries of God doing that and in the scriptures, and then even in our own lives, because so much of this is comparison oriented. We start to compare, and that brings up all of the angst inside.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we naturally, not only do we literally look at our neighbors, but we have, by access of our computers or our phones, we can look at, you know, dozens of people in a day and what their lives look like. And we naturally see their highlight reel and think that's the life I want. When people sit and tell honest stories, all of us are struggling. All of us have areas of our life where we are vastly limited from what we want. And if we can start to go, oh, there's a commonality in all believers in this world, you will have troubles. Each one of us is walking through hard things. And what does it look like then to go, God, what do you have for me right now? Not I'm holding my breath until this thing is over, until I finally get what I want, and then we're going to live together gloriously, God. What do you have for me right now?
You talk about the distance between your dreams for this season of your life and your reality and how you resented that fence line. You call this idealism, and it's in the chapter on the myth of dreaming with God. So tell me, what is idealism and what's wrong with dreaming?
Well, I used to think idealism was this beautiful thing, and I do think God created us with eternity in our heart. So he did create us with an eye for the beautiful, the ideal. But when it becomes a problem is when idealism by definition is I ascribe more to the ideals that I have than the reality right in front of me. And so, you know, I think of it in parenting. At times we can read the books and go to the classes and take the seminars and have a picture in our mind of what our family is going to be like and drive our kids towards that picture at the expense of where they really are. What if you have a kid who has special needs or learns slow or struggles with certain behaviors? And instead of actually embracing them where they are, you're constantly frustrated because they're not matching your ideals. What if you have this vision of what your marriage is going to be like in this season? But then you actually are married to a real person who sins and struggles, and there's a lot of fumbling to get there, but you're living subtly discontent because it's not the ideal that you had. I think we have idealism bleed into so much of our life that it prevents us from seeing the beauty right in front of us. I think of, you know, I mentioned earlier, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease a year ago. It is absolutely not what I imagined for this season of life. And to be limited by my body, to be limited by my physical health, and I can constantly be dreaming about what it looks like to not be inhibited, to not be tired, to not be getting sick. Yes. Or I can go, here I am another day in bed. And you know what? Maybe God's giving me the gift of rest with a novel and my kids playing outside barefoot today.
You write the distance between your dreams for this season and your reality, the resentment of that fence line. Idealism can become an intoxicating way of avoiding the pain of what's real right in front of us. That's what you just said. And we are master pain avoiders. And idealism cloaked in spiritual language can become a sophisticated tool for those who'd rather not face the pain of what's right here, right now. One other paragraph. Unchecked idealism enables me to keep the word at a distance from my heart, merely responding with my head and calling it hope and optimism. Idealism keeps me from naming the valley of the shadow of death. And that's where you say we skip steps and why grief is so important, right?
Absolutely. You know, that valley of the shadow of death, that's Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it's you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We miss that when we're constantly going, well, this isn't working out right now, but guys, everybody get on their knees. Let's pray. Let's intercede that this changes. And I am not dismissing the power of prayer. I've seen my body physically heal from God, you know, in terms of my infertility. But I do think there are seasons where we're pounding heaven going, God, move, God, move. And if we can have a moment of reflection and self-awareness, we might realize my fervor for prayer is actually coming from a place of being scared out of my mind that the outcome won't be what I want it to be. Yes. My drive to keep holding on to hope, in air quotes, might be actually that I'm very scared that if this doesn't happen or I don't hurdle this fence, I don't know where I'm going to be.
Which brings us kicking and screaming to the thought that maybe we've made God an idol, not that he is one, but we've made an idol out of our hopes and dreams and what we want to, the outcome that we want in this situation right here, rather than fully trusting in his power, in his work, and being content with the inability to see between, across the chasm, you know, in through the valley, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we can miss that God has something for us right here, right now, in this very limited minute.
Here's another quote from The Gift of Limitations. Children who frequently find safety in their father's laps tend to trust the most. A heart settling into peace with its limitations has found genuine trust in God. Do you have that? Is that what you have? And if you don't have that, it's okay, and he's okay with it. And that's why yesterday's program, Sarah, it goes so well. Leslie Leyland Fields was with us, and she was talking about praying the Psalms. And we were talking about Psalm 23 at this point yesterday. So these two programs go so well together. I can't say enough good things about The Gift of Limitations. Thank you for writing it, for living it first, for writing it, and then sharing it with us today.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Sarah Hagerty, H-A-G-E-R-T-Y, The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries. It's our featured resource. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information. You're gonna underline the whole thing because it's really, really good. Come on back tomorrow. The two Michaels are here for a special conversation on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.